The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 14th, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my partner, my friend, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, another day here in Sonoma County. Boy, I'll tell you something. That air has been crazy. I can't believe it. It's been as high as 200. I mean, that is pretty bad quality. But, you know, we're here in the studio, and I'm really excited about today's show. Joining me on the phone will be Debbie McKay, who is the president of the Sonoma County chapter of the League of Women Voters. I hope you folks remember I had Debbie on last week, and we were talking about a unique program the League is sponsoring called Make Your Vote Count, which happened last Wednesday. And I wanted to do a follow-up and see how that went. And then also the League is doing many, many forums happening this month and next month. And I believe it is important that people find out about the candidates before they vote. And there's a lot going on here in Sonoma County, and I know there's a lot going on in lots of other counties. So if there's any announcements folks want to make or anything that's going on in your county around voting, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. You know, for the second part of the show, this week has been a week for all of us. And I believe we need to explore some of our feelings and find ways to uplift ourselves and move forward. You know, hopefully to accomplish this, for the second half of the show, I will be playing some music, have a bit of conversation, a poem or two. And I think it's important that we talk about what's going on. You know, when we've struggled and we go through these struggles and have accomplished many things at this time, we have to acknowledge it, and we have to be able to talk about the hard times that most people are having. I know even in our family, you know, with the breathing and the bad air, I mean, it's a real challenge. It really is. But, you know, we talk about our history being our strength. And I just want to clarify that a little bit. Our history is our strength. And the reason our history is our strength is because when we look back in the past, we can see some of the things that we have come through. You know, some of the things that we survived. You know, I'm kind of playing with the idea. I'm not sure yet, but when I went to Sonoma State, I went back to school when I was 30 years old. I started at Los Angeles City College. And then in 1973, I came out here to Sonoma State and actually moved up to Sonoma County. I've been here almost 50 years now. I mean, I can't believe it. I wanted to live in an area that was clean and that gave more opportunities for me and my daughter. And I was so excited to be accepted at Sonoma State University. And then later on down the line, I actually was chosen to be one of the lead speakers at my graduation in 1975. But the reason I bring that up is because I remember going to school, and every semester I would say, How am I going to make it through? I mean, I had a daughter that I was responsible for. I had to work. I had to go to school. I mean, it was like, how am I going to do this? But then when you go in reflection, you see somehow things just opened up, doors opened up for you, ways opened up for you. People came forward and helped you financially, emotionally, spiritually. And before you know it, I'm going to San Francisco State getting a master's degree. Now, how did I do that? How am I going to make it? I had to go from Sonoma County to San Francisco. But somehow, like all of life, it works out, and you come through, you get through. And it's very, very, very interesting how that happens. So the reason I bring that up is to try to just encourage people to try to have a mindset that you know that everything's okay, is going to be okay, even though in spite of it, what's going on in front of you is not too pleasant, and there's a lot to worry about. I mean, my heart goes out to the women who have single parents who have to go to work and have to worry about homeschool. I mean, there's just so many things, so many burdens that are falling on us right now. But the best news is, we're not in a war zone, even though it feels like that somehow. And just appreciate what you have in the moment. You know, even as you're listening here, look around your home, look around your car, wherever you are. And take a moment to appreciate this day of living, this day of life, this day that gives you an opportunity to do something. It was very interesting. I was listening. I can't remember where this... Oh, I remember where it was. Ken and I are students of Unity, which is a spiritual group, and based on Myrtle and Charles Fillmore's teaching. And one of the things they brought up, which I thought was really interesting on the Sunday service, was Logotherapy by Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was in the concentration camps. He lost his mother, his father, his wife, his children. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, I can't imagine that. I mean, just saying it breaks my heart. But at the same time, what he said, if you just find a small purpose, just to help somebody, maybe to say a kind word, maybe to touch somebody, to do something that you feel gives you a purpose and makes you feel a little bit more like a human being, you can get through anything. And I think that's the way that we're going to have to do it now. And I'm sure folks are calling their friends, you know, having Zooms, all kinds of different things that we can do to uplift our spirits. But the most important way to uplift our spirit is through understanding that what we're thinking is how we're projecting. So start thinking good thoughts that this too shall pass. Well, our history is our strength, and women, oh my goodness, women have struggled and through their struggles have accomplished many positive things for all of us. Remember, if we did not have the vote, we would not have a voice in the decision making. And it's so interesting, if you don't vote, your vote doesn't count. And right now we are in a real drama around voting. But if we all cooperate and we all decide that we are going to do it and we take extra steps, you know, maybe go down to your voter registration. Next week, we're going to have the, from Sonoma County, we're going to have the voter registrar on, Adiva Bovil. She's going to be talking about all the different things around voting here in Sonoma County. And maybe it'll help folks outside of the counties to question what is going on in their area. But the most important thing is we have to participate. Our purpose is at this point to vote. That means we have to figure a way to get our ballot in, make sure it gets counted, and take a little bit of extra responsibility this year. Just like many of the women before us, we are standing on the shoulders of many pioneers. You know, let's talk about one of them here. We're celebrating on September 12th. This was so interesting. 1910, Alice Steben Wells, a former social worker, becomes the first woman police officer, listen to this, with arrest power in Los Angeles, California. Isn't that amazing? In 1910, Alice Steben Wells, a former social worker, becomes the first woman police officer with arrest powers. That's in 1910. That's amazing. And we know when we have women on the police force, it offers a little bit more of a balance. Women have a different way of working than men, and it helps to have the combination of male and female energy with law enforcement. So thank you, Alice. Thank you for stepping forward and working to achieve this accomplishment. And here we go on September 14th, which is today. One of my favorite people, Helen Keller. Remember Helen Keller? She was a young woman who at the age, I think, of two, she became deaf, dumb, and blind. Oh, my God. Can you believe it? She couldn't see, she couldn't hear, and she couldn't talk. But yet, this woman because she had support and because she felt purpose and because her family felt she had a purpose, was able to accomplish so much in her life. Well, on September 14th, 1964, Helen Keller received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, along with four other women, Dr. Lena Edwards, Lynn Fontaine, who I know is an actress, Helen Toussaint, and Leon Price. So these women received the Medal of Freedom. Oh, what an accomplishment for that woman. I mean, amazing. And then we keep going on. Here we are, September 14th, 1975. Elizabeth Ann Seton is canonized, and she becomes the first American-born saint, founded the U.S. Order of the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph. Well, that's very interesting. We have Sisters of Charity St. Joseph's here in Sonoma County, I believe at Memorial Hospital. Am I correct, Ken? I believe it's Memorial Hospital. So here, Elizabeth Seton, the first American-born saint, on September 14th, 1975. Now, you know, when you start thinking about these women were pioneers, they stepped outside the box. And not only that, the culture stepped outside the box by honoring them. Another famous woman on September 14th, and this is, we're going to say happy birthday to Emily Edson Briggs. And she passed away in 1910. She was the first woman White House correspondent, listen to this, during Lincoln's administration. And she was the first president of the Women's National Press Association. That is something else. And it was in 1882. Now, imagine these women. I mean, this was unheard of that women would hold a position like this. I mean, here we are in September 14th is when she was born, September 14, 1830, and she passed away in 1910. We didn't even have the vote while she was alive. We didn't get the vote until 1920. I mean, some of the states were voting, but until it became a constitutional amendment, she wasn't even allowed to vote. Amazing. And then also another famous birthday is another woman who came forward, and that was Margaret Sanger. She was the pioneer in birth control and sex education. And she was the predecessor from Planned Parenthood. I mean, think about this before Sanger came on the scene. You were the property of your husband, and you could have as many as 14 children. I mean, there was no birth control. You had no control over your own body or your own life. And here comes this woman, and I believe that Margaret Sanger was arrested several times. How dare you control birth? After all, you know, I think of Monty Python when he says, every sperm is special. I mean, come on. But here comes Margaret Sanger and says, no, there's got to be a better way. And finally, because I try to, every time I do Our History is Our Strength, I try to bring in as many variety of women as I possibly can. And happy birthday on September 14th to Joyce Chen. And she was a cookbook author. She immigrated to Massachusetts from China in 1944. She opened an authentic North Chinese restaurant in 1958 with immediate success. And she taught and published, this is so great, the Joyce Chen Cookbook, and hosted the television program, Joyce Chen Cooks. Oh, it's amazing. That's amazing what this woman did. So when you start thinking about it, I mean, here's this woman that came from China, you know, had to probably conquer, learn English, do all kinds of things in order to find herself a place in this universe, living here in the United States. But she said, no. She says, this is my skill. I can cook. This is what I can do, and I'm going to move forward. And some of these women have come out of horrendous situations. I mean, when you think of some of the women like Ida B. Wells, who went into the South and reported on lynching. I mean, all those women that stood up and said, you know something? I have a right to be here. I can do what I dream. I can make my dream come true. I can serve the people, we the people. You know, I mean, there are so many great things that women have done, and I want to thank from the bottom of my heart the National Women's History Alliance that was born right here in Sonoma County. Molly McGregor is the executive director. I want to thank her for listing all these wonderful women that I can go on their website and I can find our history. And you know something? That history gives me a lot of strength. It gives me a lot of courage. I look to my sisters and my brothers of the past, and I see the hurdles that they came through, and I say to myself, okay, Elaine, now we're in a hurdle. Now we're in a problem, and we are going to get through this. And remember, it's we the people. We're in this together. We're really in this together. And, you know, it's very interesting when I was listening to Amy Goodman, who goes on before us, and I was listening to Reverend Barber, who heads the Poor People's Campaign. Until we're all taken care of, until we're all safe, none of us are safe. And we're seeing that right now. Until we're all safe, none of us is safe. You know, when you think of those fires and you think of people losing homes, you think of the tragedies, you think of the adrenaline coming through your body. I remember when Ken just said we might have to evacuate. I thought, oh my God, I was ready to faint. But at the same time, all of us, we the people, remember that's what the first statement in the Constitution says, we the people, which means we are responsible. We're responsible to vote. We're responsible to speak out. And we must speak out for the children and the future. And we have to speak out for our own future. If you can't breathe air, I mean, come on. That's how we live. We need oxygen. We need the sun. I got to tell you a quick story. We have this wonderful, wonderful fig tree. And this year it produced figs. They look like apples. And Ken and I are trying to figure out why are the figs so big this year? Well, our neighbor across the way cut off all her trees, so we're getting more sun. Oh, we were just excited. I mean, I canned figs like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I did like 4 rounds of just of fig jam alone. And our plum tree, we had over 300 plums, all from the sun. Well, you know, the last week, the sun has been clouded. We haven't even seen the sun. I mean, we did see it yesterday. I was really excited, and then one time we saw it, it was bright red because you knew about the fire. But guess what? The figs stopped popping. I mean, think about that. You know, we picked a few. We found a few today. I mean, there's always a few that are really gung-ho and they're going to get out there in spite of the sun. But the figs stopped popping. That's the power of the sun, my friends. We can't lose that power. We lose that power of what's going to grow in the planet. So we have to start thinking about coming together as we the people and speaking out for the future. It's very important. And not denying what is happening. I mean, we've had 20, 30 years of warnings. This should not be happening the way it is. But we still may have a little bit of time. So you got to write your congressman, your local people. You got to get people really taking this climate challenge. I call it a climate challenge. Just grip it and start working on it. You know, it's amazing what people can do. You know, it's just like me when I was going to college and I had to write a term paper. 2 days before, and when it's due, all of a sudden, man, I'm cramming, I'm writing, I got all this information in my head. It's the same thing with us. Once we make up our mind to do something and start moving forward, I think we can be proud of ourselves. Well, that's a lot to think about. And we are going to take a musical break right now. And, you know, this song is so great. I love it. I love it. It's called Keep a Song in Your Soul. And it's sung by Mamie Smith. And Mamie Smith was an old, old blues singer. In fact, she recorded this song in 1921. And I believe it was 1968 or around the women's movement that it was revamped again. And I just love it. And I hope it just gives you a little bit of upliftment. And when we return, we will be talking with Deborah McKay, president of the League of Women Voters, Sonoma County chapter. And oh boy, it is an active chapter. And we'll be talking about several forums to give people the opportunity to learn about their candidates and to vote. you know, oh, I gotta add one thing about voting. What's so interesting, now that we're Zooming, we can see debates all over the country. I just saw the debate in Maine. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I discovered this woman by the name of Lisa Savage, who's in Maine, who's running for Senate. She's running as an independent. I was so impressed. But here we are. If we hadn't been Zooming or going through all this, I would not be able to make contact with this person in another state. So it was very, very exciting. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's take a musical break now. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Debbie McKay.
Of a sigh. Sighs don't make a hit, never help a bit. There's a good reason why. Here's a recipe, it will suit you to a T. When the sun is out of sight, even though you miss a light, just to keep things going right, keep the song in your soul. When the dark clouds gather round, that's no time to wear a frown, and your castle tumbles down. Keep the song in your soul. If you take heed to my story, you'll be introduced to glory, glory. If you keep this thought in view, that troubles you disappears like morning dew. Keep the song in your soul. When the sun is out of sight, even though you miss the light, just to keep things going right, keep the song in your soul. When the dark clouds gather round and your castles tumble down, that's no time to wear a frown. Keep the song in your soul. If you take heed to my story, you'll be introduced to glory, glory. If you keep this thought in view, anything troubles you disappears like morning dew.
Oh, Mammy Smith, keep a song in your soul. If that doesn't lift your spirits, I don't know what will. You know, it's interesting when you start thinking about it. I mean, my God, there's so much separation in this country. You know, when you think of the music, the rich music that we have in this country, and the dances and some of the things we do, you have to give really a lot of credit to our African-American brothers and sisters. I mean, just this song, Lifting Your Spirit. I mean, they brought the blues here that we all love so much. Well, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, the board of directors and members, and also Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest. Joining me on the phone is Debbie McKay, the president of the Sonoma County chapter of the League of Women Voters. Welcome once again, Debbie. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you very much, Elaine. Thanks for inviting us back.
What'd you think of that song? I mean, from Mammy Smith, this woman, they recorded it in 1921, and then they revised it around the when they had the second wave of the women's movement.
Well, I think music is a healing balm, and I think that's something we really need right now. We've got so much stress and so many crazy things going on. If we can listen to a good, uplifting song, it can brighten our day. So yes. I'm all in favor of that kind of music.
It's just wonderful. Well, I want to welcome you, Debbie, and thank you. This is our second interview here. And the reason I brought you back on is, first of all, I think it's so important that people not only vote, but they find out about their candidates, and they also find out about the League of Women Voters. And I know I asked you this question last week, but just to refresh our listeners' mind, give us just a little history of the League of Women Voters and why you personally believe it's important.
Well, the League of Women Voters grew out of the suffrage movement to make it legal in the United States for women to vote. And part of what the League realized is once women had the vote, they needed to be informed voters as well. And women didn't know a whole lot about the process of voting because they hadn't been able to participate in it. So right away, the League started doing citizenship classes. And we've continued to do voter education to this day. We hold impartial candidate forums where we don't endorse any candidates, but we let the public ask a lot of questions and learn about their local candidates. We also do pros and cons forums about the ballot measures, because in California, we seem to love to have ballot measures, and there's always a lot of them, and they're usually pretty confusing. So we provide information so that people can make informed decisions.
Well, it's really interesting. You know, I've never gotten an opinion, even though I've asked many of them. Well, I'll go to a forum and say, well, what do you guys think? And they say, no, we're just here to give education. And I have to say that it's really helped me to understand who I'm voting for. And it also, as I listen to some of the forums and some of the candidates, sometimes I realize how ignorant I am. That's why it's so important to hear people speak. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes, because I think that we have a very complex system of government, and when you attend these forums, you find out how many decisions that affect our daily lives these local candidates are making on a regular basis. And so you learn more about how government works in addition to just finding out about the candidates.
Well, you know, I think it's a very, very important group, and I want to thank all of you because I know how hard you work, especially during the times of elections. It's just amazing. And right now with the challenge of the pandemic, it's amazing. Like I was said before, the first half of the show, that I could watch debates in Maine. I mean, I'm so excited that all of a sudden you get an email from the Democratic Party and they tell you where there's a debate going on. You can go on YouTube and you can listen to other candidates across the country. It's amazing. It's just amazing.
Yes, this pandemic has both major challenges and benefits. I keep looking for the silver linings, and one of the silver linings is it has made it easier for people that have access to technology to become more involved. Now, the problem we have here and in other places is not everybody has the same access to technology. So that's been a bit of a challenge this year, because it used to be we held our candidate forums and anybody who could get there could participate. But the pandemic has forced us to do it all online. So that makes it a little bit harder for people to participate, but we do have it live streaming both on Facebook and on YouTube, and we do post those links on our website. So if somebody can get access to the Internet, they can see those forums anytime between now and the election. But it's tough because our libraries are closed right now, too, and that used to be a place that people who didn't have Internet in their homes could go to get access. So we haven't been able to solve that problem yet.
Well, we're into a real burst of getting things a little bit different in this world. Well, you know, last week when we talked about this wonderful forum that you did, and your voice, make your voice count. And I understand that you did something a little bit different. You had the candidates listening to the public. You know, how did that go? And can you remember anything? I know that the candidates didn't speak, but the public did. Did you notice anything interesting that came out of those conversations? Anything you'd like to share, or how did that go?
It went well. We actually had quite a bit of participation from the public, and we got some really good questions that we'll be using. We're going to have a District 1 forum this Wednesday at 6:30 on Facebook Live and on YouTube, and we pulled a lot of the questions from that event from the audience. So one in particular I liked was, how would you increase diversity on city boards and commissions? Because a lot of people don't know, the city actually, in addition to have council members, has a lot of boards and commissions that make various decisions, and it's not real diverse right now. And so I thought that was an especially good question. And then, of course, with all the recent protests and the focus on not enough justice in our country, there were questions about the police department and how might people reorganize or fund the police department differently. And then, of course, because Roseland is in this district, and it's a fairly new district, this is the first time it'll have its own representative, people had a lot of questions about what's their candidate's visions for the district. How do they see the district evolving in the next 4 years in terms of housing, small businesses, public facilities, things like that? So I think it's going to be a lively discussion on the 16th when the candidates can respond to some of these questions.
Well, you know, when you start looking, you know, when you start looking at democracy and the vote, it's just amazing how important the vote is. And I just hate what I hear. It just kind of burns my ear when someone will say, I don't want to vote. My vote doesn't count. Well, now I have a question to ask them. Oh, really? You don't think your vote counts? Well, how come they're working so damn hard to try to make it almost impossible for you to vote?
Yeah, if people's vote didn't matter, they wouldn't work so hard to suppress the vote.
Exactly. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Well, let's talk a little bit. You know, I have a list here. It looks like. Let me see where we are. Okay, here we are. 9:16. That's, oh my goodness, that's the first debate. This is a historic moment, folks. On 9/16/2020, District 1, which is what we call Roseland here in Sonoma County, for the first time will actually have candidates that are running for office to represent that district. That is amazing.
Yes, and that district also includes the South Park area. A lot of people don't realize that, but it's the South Park area and much of the Roseland area. Yeah, and this is the first opportunity for residents who live there or citizens who live there, because only citizens can vote, but it's their first opportunity to elect a representative and maybe have a little bit more of a voice on the council for their concerns. So it is a historic moment.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I remember going to city council meeting after meeting. When are we going to incorporate Roseland? When, you know, on and on. And then also the fact that now we're really in place with district elections. I mean, that to me is so exciting. And just to explain to the folks a little bit, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, Debbie, but in having district election, it makes it much easier for the candidates to contact all those people in the district. It makes it more personal.
It makes it more feasible for people to run for office because they don't have to cover an entire city. They can cover just their jurisdiction. Now, we're obviously in a different situation with the pandemic where it's much harder to go door to door, but some candidates are putting packets at people's doors to let them know about them. But I think in the future, it's going to bode well for somebody being able to afford to run a campaign. So it opens it up to a broader cross-section of our populace to be able to run for office.
Yeah, and in District 1, we have Dwayne DeWitt running, Jorge Insanio Insenio, and Eddie Alvarez. There's three people running.
Yes, that's encouraging, too, that we've got three people to pick between.
And then I'm looking at Roner Park. That's going to be on the 21st. And it looks like I had no idea that Roner Park actually had districts.
That's brand new. This is the first year that they are going to have district elections. That is something that changed this year for the city. And so they have a total of four districts, and three of those are up for election this year. And every one of them is a contested race. So that's another election that's going to be very exciting this year. And that candidate forum is on the 21st of September, again at 6:30 p.m., and it will be live streamed on both Facebook and YouTube.
And just do a shout out to the Northern California Public Media.
Public Media is really helping us with the translation of these events. And this is the first year that we are embarking on doing a translation into Spanish. It's going to be a voiceover of Spanish on the YouTube video, and that will be posted hopefully a week to 10 days after each event. There's a lot of demand for those kind of services right now, so it's taking longer than we had hoped. But this is our first year of doing that, and Northern California Public Media agreed to be our partner on that and is assisting us with that, which we're very grateful for.
And it looks like here on District 1, let's do a shout-out for these brave people who are deciding to run, which is just amazing. We've got six people, District 1, Walter Willie Lanas and David Salvani. And then in District 3, we have Joseph T. Callahan. It looks like he's an incumbent. And Jared Galdus. And then in District 4, we have another incumbent, Jake McKenzie. Boy, he's been on the board. He's been with the city council a long time, Jake. And Jackie Edward. So congratulations. And then we have one more. What I thought I would do, Debbie, is let's just talk about the September ones. And then maybe next month I'll have you on maybe for another few minutes and we can go into October so people can know.
But sure. So before we jump to Sebastopol, I want to mention we have one actually coming up tonight, and that's in Cotati. So we have a forum tonight in Cotati at 6 o'clock, and there are four people running for that city council. We have Susan Harvey, who's an incumbent, Ben Ford, Brittany Murphy, and Laura Sparks. So that's tonight at again, live streaming on Facebook and YouTube.
Well, a shout-out. My goodness, four. And we've got former Vice Mayor Lee Pierce that's going to be moderating, and Pamela Stevens. And then it looks like Karen Weeks and Jim Masters. And then another Lee Pierce and Pamela Stevens. So you have some really wonderful people narrating these things.
Yes, we have great moderators. We're really pleased that all these people are. These are all volunteers. All the league does locally is done by volunteers. We don't have any paid staff. So we're really grateful these people are willing to devote so much of their personal time to making sure the public's informed, because these events wouldn't happen if we didn't have our wonderful volunteers. There's a lot of people behind the scenes, you know, sorting the questions and making sure the meeting runs well and doing the timing. So it takes quite a few hands to make this happen.
Well, you know, before we say goodbye, before we end this segment, I'm going to catch you off guard, love. So tell me, you know, every time I talk to you, no matter what, every time you're doing an event, you always have this wonderful, wonderful attitude. You know, and I know you're doing a lot of work behind the scenes, working with so many people. What keeps you up? What keeps your energy going? What is your thought cycle?
Well, I'm passionate about our democracy. I'm passionate about people having the right to vote and being able to shape their country. And I just think it's one of the most important things that we can do. And I've been passionate about this since I was in high school. I've really always believed in our democratic process. And so any way that I can make that happen, I'm invested in doing, because it makes me happy. It makes me feel like I'm making a difference. If we all just pitch in a little bit, we can make such a difference in our community. There's so many boards and commissions. There's so many different ways to participate. I mean, join the league. Become one of our fabulous volunteers. You're going to get a lot of training if you want to get involved, because we're happy to train people on all these different events and how to make these things happen. So there's all kinds of opportunities for people to make a difference. You know, voting is the most important, but there's lots of other little ways to get involved.
Well, I want to thank you for that. I mean, that inspire you. I mean, you just inspire me, Debbie, and I just want to let you know that. I want to thank you. So we've got the final words. Let's just talk, give a little shout out for the sponsors of all this event, if you can, and also mention once again your website and how people can listen to these wonderful debates.
Yeah, so one other sponsor that we haven't mentioned is AAUW. So the Santa Rosa chapter has been sponsoring our three Santa Rosa forums, and the Healdsburg chapter of AAUW is sponsoring Healdsburg, and then NorCal Public Media is sponsoring all of these events. So, yes, we also couldn't do this without our sponsors. We're really grateful to them. If you want to know more about the league, you can go to our website, which is www.lwvsonoma.org. And please check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/LWV Sonoma County. We do all kinds of posts about voting on our Facebook page. That's our main emphasis right now. And you can go to our website and get a lot more information about the league. It has a calendar there with all the forums and the links of how to view them. It has a lot of information about voting on there. And so please check out our website. There's just a ton of information that you'll find useful there.
You know, and I also, I also want to do a little shout out here for LoCN, which is another sponsor of this event. And then my favorite superhero, Vince Harper.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, I didn't mention
No, that's okay.
They sponsored the town hall. And then actually, Vince Harper and NorCal Media were leads on that. They were the leads on that event, and they put it together so well. But yes, LoCN was a partner in that, and I think we'll hopefully do this again in the future. It was a new idea, and it was a real different experience to have the candidates just listen and not speak. And it was a great way to find out what the community cares about. So I'm really hoping, we won't do this for every race, but I'm really hoping we can do this periodically in the future. It was a really successful event.
Well, that, you know, I look forward to a future where all the candidates say, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I just want to listen to you guys. I want to hear what you
Wouldn't
want.
Wouldn't that be refreshing?
Yes, yes, very much so. So thank you for that creative idea. I want to thank you, Debbie McKay, president of the Sonoma County chapter of the League of Women Voters, for helping us get educated and to keeping us on a positive note. Thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you, and thanks for having us back.
Oh, it's my deep pleasure. Wow. Wow. You know, that's, come on, folks. Women rule, period. Women rule. I mean, so it's such enthusiasm and such, it gives you such hope. You know, we need hope. We need to feel that there is a future, but there won't be any future if we don't all work together and realize we are one family. We are a family of humanity. And, you know, I'm going to play a song, take a musical break, and we're going to do a little analysis of this song. It's called Pale Moon. I played it before, and it's sung by Becky Hobbs. But the message in this song, if you just sit back and listen to the words, just listen to the words, what she's talking about. The first line is, Pale Moon, you've been up in the sky looking down. Tell me, what is going on? And then she goes through a whole series of questions. So let's go ahead and let's play Pale Moon, sung by Becky Hobbs. And when we come back, I'm going to be doing a little conversation, maybe read a poem or so. And I hope you enjoy this song. I got to tell you, there are tears in my eyes. When I hear that song, it hits me in the deepest part of my soul. Help us to realize before it's too late that we are one planet, one people, one heart. One planet, one people, one heart. I mean, if that doesn't touch you, I don't know. It just gets me. And then also asking, what is the secret of life? What's it all about? I mean, here we are in a body walking around. You know, what's our purpose? You know, what can we contribute? You know, and then talking about the pale moon, looking down, it's seeing everything. The dinosaurs, they're all gone, you know, watching all this melting going on. I mean, imagine if we couldn't see the moon anymore. Imagine if we couldn't see the sun. We are one people, one planet, one heart. We're all breathing together. We all need air, water, sunshine, moonlight, love, acceptance. None of us are any different. You know, I love what Dr. Martin Luther King said. I long for the day when we judge a man by the quality of his character, by what he or she contributes, not by the color of their skin. And I want to add, or their class, because I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how much power you have, you're still living under that pale moon, and the earth has its final say, and we are learning that. And Ken made a very interesting analogy of this song while we were listening to it. He said, we're asking nature to comfort us. Nature to comfort us. Who else can comfort us but nature? But the sun, the plants. I mean, when you walk and you take a walk by the creeks and you look at this beautiful vegetation, where is it from? How is it created? It's all a mystery. It's all a miracle. It's all a mind blower when you think about it. So Pale Moon has become one of my signature songs. Well, that was a big little commentary, and I want to welcome everybody back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And we're going to kind of end the show by, I'm going to read this one poem, and then one poem that I wrote. And then we're going to end the song. We're going to kind of do the last song. We're going to do the prayer of St. Francis. And the reason I'm choosing this particular poem and this particular song is, let's start thinking about what we want to do and how we want to project ourselves and what we want to support and how important it is for us to participate in a democracy, because if we don't participate, we're going to lose it. And I don't want to lose it. You know, I'm 80 years old. I've lived my life a free woman. I don't want it to change. And I know neither one of you want it to change either. So let's go ahead. And I wrote this song. I wrote this poem probably maybe 30 years ago. And I really start thinking about things. I mean, I went back to school in 1970, and I'll tell you something. I was not the Elaine you're listening to on the radio. I'll tell you, my whole goal was, you know, you had to get married, you had to find yourself a good husband, you know, and, I don't know. It wasn't meant to be that way. It was meant for me to get educated and to open my eyes to all the potentials and to allow my voice to come out and be heard. So here's the poem I'm going to read. It's called I'm from the Old School. So just listen to the words. You know, I remember when I wrote it, I was reflecting very deeply what's going on. I believe in doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Where are the voices that answer the phone as I sit and listen to a recorded voice saying, press 1? Where are the young men who washed my windows, checked my oil and tires? Back then, it seems there were human beings who showed they cared about me. I miss Plotkin's grocery store, where I could find candy and gum galore. I miss real voices. I miss having someone ask me, and how was your day? I miss the time when I had limited choices. Too many choices today, really, when you think about it. When there were only 5 gas stations and only five stations on that mystical box that put new and exciting images in front of me. I miss the sounds of children playing in the street. Life seemed so simple back then when gasoline was 29 9/10 cents a gallon. Yes, I'm from the old school. I believe in doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. When you think about that, it's really interesting. It really is. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different. Oh, that poem just gives me the chill. Doesn't it? You know, I'm from the old school to think about times are different. Ken himself worked in the gas station. I mean, I'm always amazed when we go get filled up with gas, how he wipes the windows and checks everything. It's just kind of an old habit, I guess. The last song we're going to play is the Prayer of St. Francis, sung by Alari Harry. And it's a prayer. It's a prayer. And during these times, I mean, to me, the Prayer of St. Francis is not a religious thing. It's an attitude. It's an idea. It's a way of being. So we're going to go ahead and play it. Ken, it's 2 minutes and 22 seconds, so we definitely have time. And then we'll come back and we'll discuss it a little bit, and then we'll say goodbye. So here we go, the Prayer of St. Francis. Another one that I know is just going to get me to start bawling. The Prayer of St. Francis, sung by Alari Harry. That line. Imagine if we all prayed that every day. Make me a channel of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace. Like the beginning of that poem that I just wrote. I believe in doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. We all want peace. We all want love. We all want to belong. Oh, well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and we are coming to the end of the show. I want to really thank Deborah McKay, the president of the Sonoma County chapter of the League of Voters, for giving us all that information. And don't forget, they've got two forums coming up. One is going to be tonight, the Cotati Forum, where Susan Harvey, Ben Ford, Brittany Murphy, and Laura Sparks are going to be talking. Lee Pierce is going to be the narrator with Pamela Stevens. And then on the 16th, we're going to do District 1, which is, like I said, a historic district that has finally come into the fold. And Dwayne DeWitt, George Ignacio, and Eddie Alvarez are running, and it's going to be facilitated by Karen Weeks. And you can go onto the League of Women Voters website, and also you can go on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces, and we will have most things listed. A reminder, tell your friends Women's Spaces is aired again tonight at 11 p.m. on Monday evenings. I want to do a shout out to my dear friend June Bashares, who gives me lots of information, and I love debating with. She's one of my fans who's listened. Hi, June. I just wanted to say hello to you and Woody. And a reminder, tell your friends that we're airing at 11 p.m. on Monday evenings, and I'm excited. I actually get to listen to myself, and guess what, folks? P.S. It's a pretty good show. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements like birthdays, all that other stuff, you know, just give me a holler at Elaine@womenspaces.com. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Everything you do, because a woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 14th, 2020.